Welcome again to our studies in the Word of God, the Holy Bible, Holy Scriptures, that which God has given us to guide us from earth to heaven. He said, His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we want to read the Word of God every day, pray every day, and also go to church, where God, through His ministers, can nourish our inner man and encourage us. Well, I want to say this. We are going to look at the book of Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament, and therefore a book of importance, because it was the last witness that God gave to the children of Israel before the coming of Christ. And actually, in this book, there's a very clear-cut promise of the coming of the Lord. But before we look at that, I just want to look at one or two other things with you. And this book in Malachi opens up with a comparison between two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau actually was the eldest, so we should say Esau and Jacob. But nonetheless, Jacob is the more important one, because Jacob was the one whom God loved, and Esau was the one whom he hated. And before they were born, God could say that the elder, Esau, would serve the younger, Jacob. Now that is because of the foreknowledge of God. Not because he predestinates it, but because he knows what is going to happen. It is the foreknowledge of God that causes God to bring things into our lives, to seek to bring us to himself. And so here was a situation. There was in the land that we call Palestine or Israel, there were the people of God. And it was a restoration period. It's about 400 years before the coming of Christ. And the people are quite apathetic. And they're saying, well, God does not really love us. And then over the other side of Jordan, here's the Mediterranean, here is Israel, here's the River Jordan. Over the other side is the kingdom of Esau or Edom, and God says, look, I hated Edom because he sold his birthright. The things of God meant nothing to him. But you, Jacob, you sought with persistence the things of God, and because of it, I have loved you and I have blessed you. And this is what God was seeking to say to the people of his day. Look, there's a difference between those who serve me and those who don't. But they had become very apathetic. Very apathetic. And so because of their apathy, God had to rebuke them. You know, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And you know, it is the same. You know, when a child is very apathetic and doesn't do his duties that the parents have ordained for him, or in school, if he doesn't do his work, the teacher corrects him or the parent corrects him. And so it is with God. You know, when he sees us, his children, you know, being very apathetic and not, as it were, being diligent in the things of God, he corrects us. He chastises us. He brings things into our lives that, you know, he hopes would turn us into his ways. Well, so it was with Malachi. So it was with Malachi. The last prophet, the prophet that prophesied in the days of Nehemiah. And there it was. Well, let's have a look and see what God says to them, because it's very important indeed. And he starts looking at their sinful state. You know, they had corrupted themselves. And regretfully, that is the condition in much of the church world today, and also in many countries, many Western countries are called Christian. Oh, how the Ten Commandments are almost rejected. And there's almost laws that indeed counteract the Ten Commandments. I mean, I am old. I'm over 80 years of age. And when I was a young boy, the Ten Commandments were taught in school. The Bible was read in school. The beginning of every day, we had to assemble in the great hall of our school. And there, the Bible was read, and either a teacher or a senior prefect, you know, would stand up and give a little exhortation. The Word of God was honored. The Word of God was honored, even by those who were not Christians. There was a reverence. You know, when one went to church, you didn't go, you know, as you were. You came to the house of God. And every man in those days had his best suit that he used only for Sunday. Only for Sunday. Because it was the Lord's day. And he was going to enter into the house of God. And there he was going to enter into the presence of God. And he wanted to be dressed accordingly. Well, the women likewise, they conserved their best dress for Sunday mornings at church. And in those days, every woman wore a hat, and they kept their best hat for Sunday morning. And you know, Easter, they always bought a new bonnet, as it was called, a new hat, a new Easter hat, to glorify, to commemorate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, those times have changed. Those times have changed. And people, if they do go to church, so often go in jeans and the like. And that is really how they feel about spiritual things. Because you dress in accordance with the importance of the occasion that you're going to enter into. I mean, if you were going to visit the Queen, obviously, you know, the ambassadors, they dress up in all their ornate uniforms, you know, because they're going to meet the Queen, you see. It is to honor her. They're going to the palace, you see. Well, in olden times, that's how they dressed to go into the house of God. Well, this is what God is complaining about. He said, you know, my house lies vacant. Really, this is the rebuilt house. He said, no one would even shut the doors without being paid for it. In my days, no one charged for cleaning the church. Because it was an honor, it was a privilege. And the women used to come together, and they would clean every chair, every pew. They would clean the altar. They would count it a privilege to be able to be, shall I say, chosen for that work. But today, people want payment to clean the house of the Lord. They want payment for playing the organ and so forth. In my days, the church organist or the church pianist was, a position of great honor and glory. nobody thought of receiving money to play the piano or the organ in church. Well, that was the condition, that the temple had degenerated into. People were asking for money to do the chores of the church. And that was never the case. Well, we come now, and now the Lord is saying, you priests, the ministers of God, you know, you're not performing your function as you should. And then he directs us to Levi. Now, Levi was a tribe that indeed received the priesthood. And when Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? The tribe of Levi moved out as one man and stood on his right hand. They stood against their brethren because they were determined, they were consecrated, they were dedicated. And so the Lord is here saying, now look, I want you to consider this man, Levi. He is a type of a priest. He is a role model of a priest. And so we're going to look at some of the things that God says concerning Levi, who is a role model of the priest. And in chapter 2 of Malachi, and moving now into verse 4, it speaks of the fact that Levi, that God's covenant was with him. God's covenant was with him. You see, and the covenant in verse 3 was of life and peace. There is God's covenant that he made with Levi. That is the covenant that he should make with every minister. Life, life eternal. You know, I have that beautiful promise that I'm going to live forever in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to enjoy heaven and all its glories. I'm going to walk on that beautiful grass of heaven above. I'm going to be able to take the fruit from the trees. I'm going to be able to drink the beautiful, shall I say, liquor of heaven, in the sense of the fruit of heaven. You know, someone had a vision of my wife, and when she went to heaven, and there the Lord was to greet her, you see. And he took her and turned and said, looking at all heaven's splendors, and he said, all this is thine. All this is thine. And she has a beautiful house too. And she has a beautiful ministry of worshiping the Lord. Many ladies have seen visions of my wife, and they encourage me. And the thing that I want to bring out is this, you see. I have that same hope of a house in heaven, of being able to walk, you know, on heaven's grasslands, amongst the beautiful, symmetrical, harmoniously planted trees of heaven, of walking in the beautiful gardens of heaven, by the beautiful streams of heaven, swimming, as it were, or walking in the lakes of heaven, because you can walk in the waters of heaven, and you know, you will not drown. You will not drown. See, all that I have, you see, this is the promise that God gives to those ministers who will walk with him. You know, my covenant shall be with you of life. And then peace, you see, the peace that passeth all understanding. It's a promise that God gave to me when I was a student in Bible school. He said, I will make a covenant with you, a covenant of peace. And I tell you this, it is so wonderful to have that covenant of peace, whereby the peace of God clothes your mind, clothes your heart. It surpasses all understanding. You can have peace in the most difficult of times. And you see, this is the promise that he gave to Levi. And then we see something else concerning Levi. And let us look very carefully together, you see. Why did he have this covenant? Because he feared. He feared God. And he was afraid before my name. And that holy fear that we have of God, the realization that God is everything, and God will determine our eternity. He will determine our future. He will determine our present. Because God is watching over us. And as we seek to please him, and as we're careful, you know, especially with what we say and how we say things. Because it says, he that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. And by our words, Lord Jesus said, we shall be justified, or by our words we shall be condemned. Oh yes, our words determine very much our future. Very much our future. And so you see, Levi was afraid, the fear he had before his name. And then in verse 6, you see, the law of truth was in his mouth. The law of truth was in his mouth. You see, he was a teacher. He was a teacher of righteousness. And we find that he turned many to righteousness. Many to righteousness. In other words, his mouth was filled with the law of God. Now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So therefore, the laws of God were written on the fleshly tables of Levi's heart. And it was from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. And that is so important, isn't it? That our heart is clean, our heart is pure. We say as King David, O Lord, create in me a pure heart. And you see that that heart will have stored up the law of God. You know, the Apostle Paul gives this illustration. He says to the Corinthian church, he said, you are our epistles, or you are our letters, written and engraven on your heart. So, you see, the Corinthian church had been taught by the Apostle Paul, and because of the teaching of the Apostle Paul, those teachings had been engraven upon their hearts. And so, from the heart, the mouth spoke. They spoke of the things of God. And also, the heart controlleth everything. And because of that, the whole of their life depicted the gospel of Jesus Christ and glorified God because Paul had taught them the ways of God. Such was the life of Levi. What a beautiful description. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. You see, some Christians, unfortunately, you know, as James said, you know, they bless God and then they curse their brethren. You know, that should not be. And James, the Apostle James, who was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this, how is it, you know, a fountain cannot bring forth sweet waters and bitter waters? How is it then, brethren, that you are blessing God in church and cursing or swearing when you're out of church? Oh, this should not be. This should not be. No, but Levi was different. Iniquity was not found in his lips. And he walked with me. He walked with me. Oh, you remember Enoch? He walked with God. And he was not, because God took him because he pleased God. This is what God wants, that we walk with him. You remember in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, the Lord would walk with Adam and commune with Adam, speak with Adam. You see, this is what God wants. We were created by him, for him, and for his good pleasure. You see? And what does someone want? Well, we have a little dog called Miss Kenton. And we got Miss Kenton, this little dog, you see. Oh, it was a mixed breed, shall I say, but we felt it was God to have her. Well, why did we get her? We got this dog for our satisfaction, not for her satisfaction. And so, you see, we call her and she comes and we pat her and she licks our fingers perhaps. And, you know, she was purchased for our pleasure. And therefore, you see, we expect her to do the things that we want her to do. Roll over at times, bark at times, and so forth. Gives us pleasure. She is there for our pleasure. Well, you see, in exactly the same way, we were created by God for his pleasure. Well, you know, if our dog, Miss Kenton, is running away in the bush instead of walking with us, well, we don't have any pleasure in her. We have to call, where is she, go and find her. No. You see, and it's the same with God. You see, he wants us to walk with him. To walk with him. Actually, to walk with him. Not him to walk with us, but us to walk with him. So that the paths that he chooses, we walk in. We walk in. And think of that. You see, we are created for him. And Levi did exactly that. He walked with God. And what else do we see? Well, he walked with God in peace and equity. Peace and equity. In other words, you know, if you've seen two friends, they walk together, they might be arguing. Well, that's no pleasure. To say, oh, well, when I meet her or we meet him, we're going to argue. No, you want to walk in peace. Have peace together when you walk. Have the same mind. Well, when we walk with God, it's not an argument, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, and please let me do this, please that, that, and the other. No, we walk in peace. We walk in unity, having the mind of the Lord, knowing what he wants us to do. Now, that's what we should do, you see. And inequity. And that is very important. It's to do things that are right. It's above righteousness. Equity is looking at a situation and saying, well, perhaps the law says this, but there's something more important than the law, doing that which is right in this situation. That is virtually what equity is. And as we walk with the Lord, you know, we consider one another. And we do those things to help one another. And to, you know, that gives pleasure to the Lord because he loves all his children. And he wants, obviously, the children to love one another. And one of the most difficult things is, you know, people would tell me, you know, it's wonderful to be with my friends, but my family, oh, dear Lord, something else, you see. Well, God wants us in the family of God to be at peace with one another, you know, to be at love with one another. And then, you see, the priest should seek knowledge, from Levi. You know, there should be role models, pastors who are role models, and other junior ones can come to them and receive knowledge from their hands. And, you know, the interesting thing, you see, is the one thing that's so important, is that Levi, through his life, through his teaching, turned many into righteousness. Do you remember that wonderful, wonderful scripture, Daniel 12:3, where it says this, he that is a teacher of righteousness, he that is a teacher of righteousness, you know, shall shine as the stars forever and ever. They that turn many to righteousness, you know, shall shine as the brilliance of heaven above. And this is what God wants us to do. Consider Levi. Meditate on these verses. And say, Lord, make me like Levi, that I may walk with you in peace and equity, that your laws might be in my heart and flow from my lips, and there be no iniquity in my lips. I will not be bitter one time, callous, envious, covetous, or cursing, swearing one time, and then blessing God in church. No. I will not be like that. But rather, you know, there will be no iniquity in my lips. But I will speak those things that are true, and by my teaching, and by my speaking, and by my very life, I will turn many to righteousness. This is what Levi did. And he is a role model for every minister. And may I say, not only a minister, but every Christian. Because we all should be teachers. We should all be having the law of truth in our lips. We should all be seeking to turn others into the pathway of righteousness. And may God grant that we will heed to these admonitions and see the cry and plea of God for his children, for each one of us, for you, for me, that we will indeed, you know, have the law of truth in our lips, no iniquity, but we will turn many to righteousness, and thereby we shall shine as the stars in heaven above. May God grant that that will be your portion. God bless you.